From the shadows of the radio towers, this is the Gay PHX Podcast. Your community radio on demand.
It's gonna be a good day. And everything is going to go my way. It's gonna be a good day. The sun is shining bright and it's here to stay.
Today on the Gay PHX Podcast, you're stepping into a week full of community, celebration, and so many reasons to feel connected across the valley. So settle in, take a breath, and let's get you caught up on everything happening across the LGBTQ plus desert family. And before we dive into events, we need to give a quick, very well-deserved shout out to someone who's become a trusted resource to our listeners, Amanda Renfrew at The Tax Person. Amanda is a community-safe tax pro, trauma-informed, inclusive, and genuinely welcoming. She makes the entire tax process feel way less intimidating. She helps you stay ahead, plan smart, and use the tax code to your advantage and avoid surprises. Whether you're an individual, a creative, or running a small business, you get transparent pricing, zero judgment, and someone who actually geeks out about saving you money and keeping the IRS out of your nightmares. She's warm, she's sharp, and she's absolutely the kind of person you want in your corner. She offers free consultations at thetaxperson.com or search The Tax Person on socials. Now, let's talk about some of the events. Owlback has their holiday party landing December 21st at Grit. Doors open at 2 p.m. Food starts at 3 o'clock. There's a $30 white elephant gift exchange, and it's open to the whole community. However you celebrate the season, or even if you don't, come share some space, laughter, and chosen family time. Also, coming up this weekend is the Pan Party over at Grit AZ. It happens December 13th, and the excitement around this one is getting louder day by day. Tickets keep going every day. For full details and updates and information as it drops, head over to gritaz.com, click that link, and it'll take you over to all about the tickets. And also, a huge programming update, Gay PHX is now partnered with Lookout News. Every Friday, you'll hear a fresh, queer-focused news recap playing once every hour on our stream. Stories that matter, headlines that center around our community, and coverage you won't hear anywhere else. We're thrilled to bring this partnership to Phoenix. And today, we're sitting down with the Desert Overture Wind Symphony, the team behind Sparks of Joy. Their winter concert is coming up this weekend, December 14th. This group isn't just making music, they're building community, sharing stages with Desert City Jazz, and reminding Phoenix why joy still matters. You'll hear how they create the magic, and trust me, the behind-the-scenes stories are beautiful. Now it's time. Let's hand the things over to our Desert Den Daddy, Brian, with this week's Hot 3.
You're listening to Gay PHX, where community comes first.
Hey, 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 it's your Desert Den Daddy, Brian, and if you're hearing this right now, you're awake when decisions get interesting. The holidays may be creeping in with their cozy sweaters and polite cocoa, and the valley says absolutely not, and showed up sweaty, sparkly, and just one bad decision away from getting on Santa's watch list. Hydrated, heated, horny, adjacent, welcome to December in the desert, baby. From the shadows of the radio towers, welcome to Brian's Hot 3, the queer corner where we don't just sprinkle glitter, we throw it like it's foreplay. Strap you into joy like a harness pulled one notch too tight, and whisper directly into your ear that no matter how weird the holidays get, Phoenix still has a place with your name on it and probably your safe word too. And if Thanksgiving left you anxious or lonely or ready to climb someone like a Christmas tree, Daddy's here with three reasons to get out of the house and into trouble. Grab a harness and a sense of humor because the Hot 3 is about to get deliciously inappropriate. Hot pick number 1, Thunderbird Lounge, Melrose Wonderland Pop-Up Bar. December 8th through the 24th, every Monday through Thursday from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., welcome to Melrose Wonderland, where Thunderbird Lounge takes holiday cheer, spikes it with vodka, covers it in twinkly lights, and shakes it like it's a confused elf who drank too much cold brew. We're talking festive cocktails that will have you feeling merry in the knees, glittering decor bright enough to summon three ghosts and a drag queen, and photo ops that practically beg you to thirst trap your ex. It's cute, it's cozy, it's queer, it's camp. And baby, it's only here for three more weeks. So get your butt to Melrose, grab something red and frosty, and let a Thunderbird twink take your picture under the lights. Come flirt under the lights for your picture, you'll regret Sunday. Come sip something red and frosty while a Thunderbird twink asks if you want another, and you don't know if he means the drink. Hot pick number 2, Grit BDSM Bash. Pan Party, December 13th from 11 to 4. This one isn't for the shy kids in the back. This is the pan party, and Grit is serving up a pre-Christmas play session with enough equipment to make Santa drop his bag and rethink his life choices. Five slings, crosses, stocks, padded tables, outdoor showers, pools, hot tubs, gazebos, and the infamous Shock Shack, which is exactly what it sounds like and somehow still wilder. There's even a naughty UFO, because why have a dungeon when you can have a sci-fi adventure with aftercare? BYOB, weed allowed, costumes encouraged, consent enforced like gospel. Food and water are included because hydration is sexy, safety is kink, and no one wants to faint face down in a sling. Or do they? If you're really ready to get tied up, tuned up, this is the one. RSVP early and get there early, because once the dungeon is full, that gate shuts like a pair of leather chaps on leg day. Hot pick number 3, Ozbar, local artist art show, Corey Raleigh and Doug Edwards. After all that filth and fantasy, it's time to pretend you're classy again. Head to Ozbar for a gorgeous art show where you can sip, flirt, mingle, and buy something beautiful for your walls, or for that one person you want to impress without seeming desperate. Corey and Doug are serving color, passion, depth, and the kind of artistry that makes you say, "Wow, I want that in my house." Support queer artists, support local makers, and support your own delusion that you're sophisticated even though you were in a sling 3 hours ago. And Phoenix, that wraps up your hot three for the week, but before I disappear back into the night, thank you. You tuning in what makes this little queer signal into a whole ecosystem of love, chaos, and community. We don't have a giant broadcast tower humming in the dark, but we do have you, and that heartbeat, that connection, that late night spark, that is what keeps Gay PHX alive. Stay safe, stay bold, stay hydrated, because daddy worries. Stay just dangerous enough that you blush thinking about it tomorrow. Until next time, coming to you from the shadows of the radio towers, I'm Brian, your Desert Den Daddy, and that's what's hot.
Want all the details? Head over to GayPHX.com, your one-stop shop for queer events, promos, and everything happening in the valley.
New episodes, local voices, big queer energy. Subscribe now to the Gay PHX podcast.
Have you ever ordered a harness online only to realize when you get it that it's basically a rubber band with a dream? Yeah, we've all been there. Are you ready to turn heads? Your new favorite harness or accessory is right at your fingertips. At strapupcustomgear.com, you're in control. Think of it as the Build-A-Bear of fetish wear, only sweatier, sexier, and way more fun. You pick the style of harness or accessory, the colors, patterns, and the hardware. You can make it subtle, make it loud, make it you. Every harness is handmade to your specifications, fully adjustable, animal-free, and pool-safe, because you deserve gear that can keep up in and out of the spotlight, the pool, or the bedroom. With inclusive sizing from extra small all the way to 6X, we've got you covered with countless options that pop harder than your ex's jealousy. Whether you're serving looks at Pride, dancing in the club, or just doing laundry in full fantasy, you deserve better than a cookie-cutter harness. So it's time for you to build a baddie, not a basic. Handmade in Denver. Follow us on Insta at StrapUpCustomGear and shop now at StrapUpCustomGear.com.
This is what community sounds like.
This is Amanda Renfrew, enrolled agent with The Tax Person, with your tax year countdown. If you are age 50 or older, you can make catch-up contributions to your 401k or IRA. These extra amounts lower taxable income and boost your retirement savings as you near retirement. Get support with a free 15-minute consult at thetaxperson.com or look for me as The Tax Person on socials.
I'm Daddy Dave, your friend in the fight to end stigma, and I'm the founder of Team Friendly, here today to talk about injectable HIV meds. Let's talk about long-acting HIV medications. It's a total game changer for both prevention and treatment. Instead of taking pills every day to prevent or treat HIV, long-acting options like injectable PrEP or injectable HIV treatment can be given once every 1 or 2 months, some even less often. That means fewer daily reminders, more privacy, and more freedom. But they're not for everyone. You'll need to visit a provider regularly for your shots, and missing an appointment can raise your risk of resistance. We don't want that. Some people also experience side effects like injection site pain or fatigue. The good news? These meds are safe, effective, and helping more people stay undetectable or HIV-free without that daily pill. Talk to a healthcare provider to see if long-acting options are right for you. Let's live and love stigma-free of HIV.
More stories, more voices, more pride. You're tuned in to the Gay PHX Podcast.
Today, we're shining the light on the power of music to bring people together. Phoenix has an ensemble that's been making a big impact both on stage and across our community through the universal language of sound. Please welcome to the Rainbow Tinted Microphone from Desert Overture Wind Symphony, Stephen Hook, Scott Helms, and Allie Haywood. Welcome. Thanks for joining me today. Okay, let's each of you introduce yourselves and your titles, please, so that we all know who we're talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm Scott Helms. I am the founding artistic director of Desert Overture. We've been around for, we're in our 15th season, and I'm happy to be with you.
And I am Allie Haywood. I'm the president of Dolce, which is the umbrella organization over Desert Overture Wind Symphony.
And my name is Stephen Hook, and I am on the marketing committee for Desert Overture Wind Symphony.
Excellent. So now let's start. You've got a show, Sparks of Joy, coming up. What makes that a special concert for Desert Overture?
One of the things that I think makes it special is for the last several years, for our December concert, we have combined and shared the stage with our sister organization, which is Desert City Jazz. It's an 18-piece jazz ensemble, or 19-piece jazz ensemble, jazz swing band. And they play the first half of the concert, and then we take an intermission and change the stage setup and switch over to the Wind Symphony. You get two different styles of music and two different bands that you get to hear in one concert. So that's always exciting.
Very fun. And how do you balance holiday favorites with pieces that bring a fresh new twist each season?
The holiday concert this year, sometimes we do a traditional holiday concert where it's all basically Christmas music and maybe a little bit of Hanukkah. This year, we decided to mix things up a little bit and make it more broad, focus on just winter in general. There's still going to be some holiday music on the program, some traditional Christmas tunes that everybody will recognize. But we're broadening it out to encompass things that happen in wintertime that bring joy, whether it's the holidays themselves, or, for example, one piece we're playing is called Aurora Borealis. Mm. Not specifically about any holiday, but it's definitely something that brings joy to people when they see it. And that particular piece does a really great job of kind of evoking that emotion and the excitement and the wonder of seeing the Northern Lights.
And what's something that audiences might not expect when they come to the holiday performance?
We're doing a piece called Minor Alterations. This is a sequel. So it's Minor Alterations 2. It's a sequel to Minor Alterations 1, which is a piece the band has played previously, but it is essentially a collection of holiday favorites, but it is transposed into a minor key and paired with maybe a more classical melody that you wouldn't expect to go with that holiday melody because it's in a minor key. I think one of the favorites is like Flight of the Valkyries and O Holy Night is a combo through this piece.
Very cool. And what's one of the behind-the-scenes moments that captures the joy of putting a concert like this together?
I think one of the behind-the-scenes joys, personally for me, is everyone comes together to put it together, put together a concert. It's not just put up in a day. As president of the organization, I oversee multiple committees and a bunch of people just to put on a concert. And it's heartwarming to see everyone coming together to work on a shared experience and a shared way to get our music out there for everyone to hear.
And what is
one of the joys for me, just to expand on that, is
the community and the camaraderie that exists within the group itself. It's a bit of a cliche, I realize, but we really are a family. We have a good time having rehearsals and putting the music together for concerts and things like that. But there's a lot of social things that happen among band members just organically, that maybe one of the sections will get together and go bowling, or anybody who's available gathers to eat dinner together before rehearsal weekly in different places and that kind of thing. So it's really a great community. It's a great way to meet lots of like-minded people and share our love for music together. So that's definitely a source of joy for me.
And Stephen, how about yourself?
So this season, we did something special in that we put together a music appreciation and reminiscing guide for elders in senior communities that could not make it to our show. And this was really our way of making our music programming available to individuals that may not otherwise get to appreciate the music we're presenting. That really came from, I have a loved one in a nursing home that doesn't get to necessarily always come to our concerts. And so putting this together to expand the audience to people that may not even be aware that this music exists was a really special opportunity for me, this concert.
And what themes or emotions do you want this concert to capture for the audience?
Obviously, joy is the biggest one. We want to encourage people to see the joy in everyday things sometimes. And we hope that they leave the concert with that feeling. So that's the big one for me.
I think for me personally, with putting on these concerts, and this one specifically, getting closer to the holidays, and some people might not have people around them that they can feel like they can be themselves with. So, you know, Desert Overture and Dolce as an organization, I want everyone to feel like they can be who they are, and anyone is welcome for us.
And I would really go for, as well, following along with Scott, the concept of joy as a holiday theme. There's so much to focus on that's not a positive light these times of days, and it's nice just to have a message of pure joy as an organization. I really enjoy it.
It sounds like you're also going to give us those reminders, which we need because there's so much noise shouting at us all day long about everything happening, that being reminded of joy, I believe, is also just going to be much needed. Is there much audience participation?
Not really. We don't have like a sing-along or anything like that. But just in the sense that we invite the audience to sit back, and especially for some of the pieces that are more programmatic, in other words, pieces that represent our musical representation of landscape or something like that's called programmatic music. And like Aurora Borealis, for example, we encourage the audience to, if they want to, even close their eyes and just picture, let the music take them wherever it takes them, and picture the scene that the composer is trying to paint with their music. So if I guess you could say it's an individual audience participation option.
I see what you mean. A shared experience alone. How does Sparks of Joy tie into the Desert Overture's mission of visibility and pride?
I think Sparks of Joy, as a concept, in performing with Desert City Jazz, the sister organization jazz band, we are able to get access to each other's audience members. Audience doesn't necessarily always know about Anthony, and vice versa. So the visibility of getting each other's audience to hopefully expand both of our audiences.
So like cross promotion.
Outside the LGBTQ plus community, we have lots and lots of audience members who are allies. And a lot of times, some that have never had a lot of interaction with the LGBTQ plus community. And so music being the universal language, everybody loves music, different styles, yes, but everybody loves music of some kind. And it's a way that we can maybe non-verbally make a connection with people outside of our own community and reach out. The way I like to put it sometimes is maybe they'll be more likely to hear us in City Hall if they've heard us in the concert hall.
And what does the planning process look like from concept to curtain call?
I'm sorry, you broke up on us there. Could you say that again?
Sure. I said, what does the planning process look like from concept to curtain call?
For us, the planning starts almost a year in advance with choosing the concert theme. In the past, our artistic committee is open to anyone who is in the organization. And this year, we had an open poll. Everyone dropped in their ideas, and whoever got the highest vote is that we decided. And then going from narrowing down exactly what we want the concert to be called to breaking up where we're going to perform. This one is at Tempe Center for the Arts, and almost all of our concerts for Desert Overture Wind Symphony is at Tempe Center for the Arts. And so it's talking with the venue and getting payments and all that super fun stuff going, to deciding if we want decor and stage presence. Each of these things is a different committee who is in charge of this, and they get free rein to bring in any and all ideas. And then as a board, we decide what stays and what goes.
Oh, that's cool. So they get creative freedom and then it's all reined in.
Yes. We rein it in the last month or two, figuring out what exactly needs to be purchased, what needs to be handmade. And day of the concert, it is an all-day event, from getting to the venue at 8 a.m. to bring all of the percussion instruments into the venue, setting up all the chairs, setting the stage, and then we do a full-on rehearsal and then a concert at 3 o'clock.
I think another really cool aspect is usually our first rehearsal of each concert cycle is a open rehearsal to the community, where anyone is welcome to join. We ask that they have about an equivalent of a year of high school playing band experience. But it's the opportunity for new players to come get to know the organization and play music with us for the first time.
Oh, that's cool. And what kind of response have you seen from the audience over the years?
Our audience has grown quite a lot over the years, which is really great to see. We used to, years ago, we would be lucky if half of the main floor of Tempe Center for the Arts was filled. And now we're opening the balcony. That's really fun to see. And it's fun to see the response from people in the lobby after the concert. A lot of people will tell me what their favorite piece was. And it's not even something that I have to prompt. They just tell me that so-and-so piece was really cool. So it's fun to hear audience reaction after the concert.
And Stephen, I assume that are you one of the performers as well? Is everyone a performer?
Yes, I am one of the performers. So I've been playing with Desert Overture for just under a year, and I play the cello as a honorary euphonium.
And Scott?
I'm the conductor. The artistic director.
That's what
I
thought.
So I'm the guy with the stick standing in front of everybody, keeping them all together.
Right. You're the wrangler.
But my primary instrument is trumpet.
Oh, very interesting. And Allie?
I play the tenor saxophone, and I've been in Desert Overture Wind Symphony for almost 8 years, I believe. And it's been such a great ride.
If you go back to your first performance, what was it like performing for your community? And has that changed the way you experience other concerts? Does that change the way you perform, knowing that it's for the community? Let's start with Stephen.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, that was for me?
All three of you, but yeah.
Oh, I think it's always great. My family comes to our concerts, and that is such a unique opportunity for them to get to see me participate with such a diverse group of individuals on stage. For me, that's really impactful and is a driver for me to put that much more of a better performance on is my family's out there and enjoying the music with this organization.
And Allie, let's go over to you.
My first concert was probably a year after I had graduated from high school. So I hadn't been playing for almost a year. And when I joined Desert Overture Wind Symphony, it immediately just all came back. And being able to perform with such good performers, such great musicians, was very impactful for me as still a young musician. I wanted to get better because of the players around me. And that has been a driving goal for me, is to be as good as I think everyone else is and to hopefully be that kind of beacon for someone else who is joining up as well.
I love that. I love surrounding myself with people smarter than me, so that helps elevate. And Scott, so 15 years, I assume you haven't been directing all 15 years?
I have been.
Oh, you have been. Okay, so what was that first time directing 15 years ago then?
As far as my first time performing with the group, it was obviously a rush because this was a brand new organization. We were pretty small then. We only had like maybe 35 musicians. And I believe our first public concert as a band was at Trinity Cathedral downtown, which has beautiful acoustics. So that really enhanced it a lot. It was a beautiful building. But to your point, as far as how things have changed playing for our community, that first concert was, I think, the audience was almost exclusively friends and family of the people in the band. So it truly was our community. And it's been over the years so much fun to see that community grow and bring in people who really know, a lot of people don't know anybody in the band, but still like to come to our concerts because they enjoy the music and they enjoy the programming. So that's been fun to watch. The other thing that has been really gratifying for me is some of the personal, the way that our concerts and our performances have touched people personally, both in the band and out of the band. For example, I'll just give you a couple of examples. There has been more than once where a member of our band was maybe newly out or something like that, and filling that stage that a lot of people go through with their family of, are they okay with me? Do they feel like me? That kind of a thing. And their family members came to the concert to support their kid. And the kid wasn't entirely sure that, I say kid, their child, I should say, wasn't entirely sure that their family was going to show up even. And then they see him sitting out in the audience. And you can just see the relief and the, to use that term again, the joy on their face to get the support of their family in a time when they're not real certain that they have that support is really gratifying. So that's been a great one. And then connections made within the ensemble itself have been really fun to watch. We've had people start to date. We actually had one couple who, the one guy proposed to his partner on stage in our concert. Yeah, so that was really cool. And to see friendships form among people who previously didn't know each other at all and that kind of thing. That's all really fun to see all of that develop.
The camaraderie over the time. So you started with 35, I believe. Where are you at now, members?
Oh, now for the last several concert cycles, we've hovered between 70 and 80.
Wow. That must sound amazing.
Yeah. So we're getting big.
That's awesome. Where can listeners get tickets, support the ensemble, and make sure that they get over to C Sparks of Joy.
For tickets and info, you can go to desertoverture.org. That is our website. And if you want information on Desert City Jazz, that is desertcityjazz.org.
And how can listeners follow or support you online as well as through those socials?
They can follow us on Facebook and Instagram, Desert Overture Wind Symphony. We also have an email subscription that you can find on our website, desertoverture.org.
And of course, we've got our contest going on the website as well. So, excellent. Thank you, everyone. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day, all three of you, to come on and do this tonight. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Another reason we love this community.
Buns are warm and the dogs are hot. The picnic dogs, the best they've got. Grab your pals, don't be late. And Roro Dog, it's a tasty day. Roro Dog, hey, serving smiles all day. Roro Dog, whoa, tastes so good you'll wanna stay. From the grill to the groove, come join the crowd. And Roro Dog, we're proud and loud. Yeah, it's Wiener Wednesday, come on down. Wieners all over town. Big buns, big fun. Bring your friends to play. You know it's Roro Dog all the way. Ayo.
Huzzah! Welcome to All Queer Shakespeare, the world's first all LGBTQIA+ Shakespearean theater company. Tickets are on sale for our latest show. Check us out at allqueershakespeare.com. It's a gay old time.
Pride lives here.
A huge thank you again to our guests from Desert Overture Wind Symphony for sharing their heart, their history, and their joy behind the upcoming Sparks of Joy concert. Hearing how much love and community goes into that music, it's exactly what we're here for. And speaking of love and people that we love, we want to thank Amanda Renfrew, the tax person, for supporting this episode and for supporting our community the way she does. A quick plug for anyone who needs it. If you've ever wondered why it feels like we get more IRS love letters than anyone else, you're not imagining it. The data is real. That's why I trust Amanda. She's trauma-informed, inclusive, and helps you stay ahead so the IRS stays out of your hair. Transparent pricing, proactive planning for individuals and small businesses, and this is huge. She includes IRS representation with every single return, because everyone deserves that kind of protection. Grab your free consultation at thetaxperson.com or search The Tax Person on socials. And don't forget, GayPHX is streaming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, playing music created by our community for our community. The artists you discover, the joy we share, it's all local and it's all powered by you. Plus, we've got something big coming. Our brand new GayPHX music discovery site is launching soon, and we're so excited to help you find new queer artists, local creators, and sounds shaping our city. Stay tuned. It's going to change the way Phoenix finds music. Thank you for listening. Thank you for showing up. And thank you for being a part of this beautiful, messy, vibrant community. We'll see you next week.
We're together. The sun is bright. And there's nowhere better than by your side.
Thanks for hanging out with the Gay PHX Podcast.
Be kind.
Be bold.
Be you.